three scriptures. One is in the Epistle to Romans, and chapter 7, Romans 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind serve God's law, but with the flesh sin's law. There is then now no condemnation of those in Christ Jesus. The Epistle to the Galatians and chapter 2 and verse 20. I'll read the whole verse. Paul is speaking, I am crucified with Christ, and no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. But in that I now live in flesh, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. One more scripture in the Epistle to the Ephesians. Epistle to the Ephesians. And verse 3. Blessed be the God of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now verse 13. In whom ye also have trusted, having heard the word of the truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance, to the redemption of the acquired possession, to the praise of his glory. I want just to pursue tonight a little impression of something that I have been enjoying. I want to speak about deliverance. I want to say a brief word about committal, and I'd like to say a little word about consecration. Now that might seem an awful, unless a little bit not too premeditated, but it may seem a little bit doctrinal. And I am the last person on this earth who wants to speak merely of doctrine. But I know this, it's only in the measure of which you enjoy practice that you can speak about doctrine. And if your practice, if my practice isn't governed by good doctrine, you'll find there'll be something wrong with your practice. Now, all this lies at the base of a case that was brought to Jesus. You know, in the four Gospels, persons are being brought to Jesus. They are being brought to him helpless. They are being brought to him hopeless. And they are being brought to him under the power of conviction without a leg to stand on. And that case in which there was no leg to stand on was the poor woman in the 8th of John who was taken in the very act. So to start with, her mouth is shut. Whoever can open their mouth, she can. Now how is the blessed God going to deliver a woman like this? Because it's not a bit of good talking about consecration or committal to your delivery. Not a bit. Not a bit. You can stand outside of Wormwood Scrubs or any other prison, the maze in Ireland, if you got the courage to, and talk about deliverance. But what's the good to talk about deliverance with men behind the bars? What sound of joy is that going to be to them? When God delivers, he delivers. And he does. And blessed be his name, he does it like nobody else can. And here's a case. If knots were ever tied tight, here they are. They are tied tight too. The woman couldn't undo one. And those that brought her didn't attempt to undo any either. They wanted a technical formula right over the woman. And they were almost putting it into the mouth of the Lord to say, condemned. They said, off the story. Moses said she should be stoned. And that was right, she should be. But she's still bound. She isn't delivered. She can't move. Everything's against her. No hope. Without God and without hope, if you like. But knowing all this, the blessed Savior stoops. He stoops. What a glorious man for your heart and mind to contemplate. Beloved brethren, this morning, there were the emblems of the man who stooped to die. No way out. And he stooped. But before he stooped, he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. My word, what a text for a preaching, eh? There wasn't a person unconvicted. It shut the mouth of the Pharisees. It closed the reasoning of the Sadducees. And yet the woman was still bound, still condemned. Now, what did Jesus do? Has no man condemned thee? The Lord says what? Neither do I condemn thee. Now, how could the Lord and Savior of this dear woman tell her that he didn't condemn her when actually the law of Moses, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees all were pointing the finger? Why? How could he? If he does it, it's got to be righteous. If he does it, when he has done it, no charge can be made. How is he going to do it? By taking the guilt of this woman. And the whole guilt too. Not only the adultery, if you like, one act, but the sting of the woman. And he's going to remove it. I am God by becoming under the judgment of God what that woman and you and I are. And when that judgment was exhausted, it's gone. There's full and free pardon. This woman now can come into liberty. Hath no man condemned me? No, Lord. And you never heard of anybody condemning her afterward, did you? They didn't get her around in the corner and say, look, so-and-so. No. She went. And she was completely clear. She was delivered. From what? Her sin. And that's the first step to blessing when we see the precious work and the value of the person of Jesus. Sin was can be to blot it out, removed, and faith in Christ. All the worth of the acceptance of that glorious man before God can be the portion of now what? Not a condemned sinner, but a justified believer. And there's all the wide world of difference. One is bowed down, the other goes on his way rejoicing, for the Lord has set her free. That's it. Now that's the removal of sin. And it's hard? No, it's guilt. The scripture that I read in Romans is a man there who is finding that he is being borne down by not the guilt of sin, that's being dealt with and righteously removed in the death of Christ, but the working of it in his members. And it would bring him into condemnation. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? He didn't say a bit of the body. He didn't say his hands or his feet or his tongue or his eye. He said his body. And then he says something wonderful. I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've got a person not only in the enjoyment of the forgiveness of sins, great and wonderful that is, but now you've got a man delivered completely from the power, condemning me of the working of sin in the flesh. And he's free. He's free. He's free. I thank God. This is the first cry of thanks in Romans. Oh, thank God. And what does it say? There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I've said before, beloved brethren, said again, there is no safer place on this earth than in Christ. Now, he's delivered. How about the next step? Years ago, I believe the brethren used to stand. I don't know if Mr. Mundy remembers it, but they used to tell us they stood at the back of the room, and after the preaching of the gospel, they used to say, are you delivered? Yes. Are you committed? I'm not sure. I'm glad they don't do that. I'm so glad they don't do that now. But sometimes, you know, it might be good. But to tell you one thing, don't you dare stand at that door and ask people if they're delivered and committed, unless you are. Oh no, the Lord will tie you up. Oh, he will. He'll tie you up till you get that question settled in your own little soul, so that you might come. But if you've got the courage to say that to somebody, you say it. But you demonstrate it to them how it's enjoyed. Committal. Now, same writer that read and wrote, I read from and who wrote Romans, he writes to the Galatians, another company of people. Saints in Rome, you know, it took something to be a Christian in Rome, you know. I can tell you it did. I reckon. In the end, nearly all those beloved saints in Rome were either put in the lion's den or some atrocity of extermination. But the work of God went on. And the power of the glad tidings not only swept through Rome, but it swept right through Philippi. It's come right over this country, and it's gone right around the world, and souls are finding power. Life in Jesus. So what does he say? He's not writing. He wants to help the Galatians because they were a bit legal. They were far more concerned, maybe, with what persons wore than what they are. Maybe, I don't know. But he says this: I am crucified with Christ, and no longer live I, but Christ lives in me. But in that I now live, that's committal, brethren. I want to just say this, that committal is not doctrine, it's practice, it's living. Oh, it's a good thing when my soul and yours can become committed to the Savior and Lord and Master that has done so much for us that in our life, day by day, we can say, I live, but Christ lives in me. But in that I now live in flesh, that's his body, he had to go to bed and he had to get up, and I expect he had to wash, and he had to talk, and he had to eat, that's flesh. I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God. Think of every detail in his daily life, showing a mark of distinction, committal. Think of it. I live. His daily life. Not only when he got up in the synagogue, not only when he spoke in the marketplace, not only when he knelt down, when he had his food, when he spoke to people. And you know, he carried a chain, but he never had a chain for his tongue. Now, there find Paul with a chain in his tongue. I got great difficulty, you know, when people say that they love Jesus and they don't testify to it. They don't tell somebody. The man or who, tell somebody. You'd be surprised. You try it and see. I know someone that said, directly they got up in the morning, the first person they saw, they tell them what a Savior Jesus was to them. And you know, there's a knock at the door. And the little girl thought, I'll go quick before Mummy gets there. She thought it was the postman. And it wasn't, it was the milkman. And then she told her what she said. She said, I want to tell you, milkman. She said that I have confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And last night I said, I tell the first person I saw. And the milkman put the milkman down and burst out crying. How about that? Today, why did he cry? He said, dear, he said, this takes me back 50 years. This is how it works. A committed Christian, committed believer, lover of Jesus, not only delivered, but committed. Committed to the will of God, yes, but committed to Him. Committed to Him, whose I am and whom I serve. Oh, I love this. Oh, this is how power comes into the meetings. Spreading the power in there till we get the same power in the room till the saints get there. So let's bring in some power. Life alone is known in Jesus, but Paul says the life I now live. So as we walk in the door of the meeting room, we've been living a day. Have we spoken about Jesus? Have I spoken about him? I've got two men working outside my house and they're doing some stones, you know, to put the stones in very nicely. Oh yes, they want to do it nicely too. Of course they do, and I should be very pleased when it's all done. But have I spoken to them about the Lord? They'll expect their money when they're done. Ah, that's all right. That's why they're doing it nicely, for what they could get. Think of a God who's given everything to get your love and money and provide us with a salvation without money and without price. Being committed to it. Do they see, these men, a difference in me, my wife, and my boy, and the people that come to our house? We're different. What's making us different? Is it because we're Tories, or socialists, or liberals? Is it? What is it? What's the difference? Is it because we go to a little room up the road? No. The room don't make any difference, brethren. That's why probably we've had to lose a few of them because we thought perhaps it gave us a bit of status. I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
But status and stature go together. And I want no status in this world. But I've got a wonderful standing in Christ. Now, having been delivered and now commended, I can be consecrated. Now I hope, dear brethren, that in too long a word, consecration, what does it mean? Leviticus tells you what consecration is. Says in Leviticus 8, and Moses took them from off their hands and burned them on the altar over the burnt offering. Leviticus 8, verse 28. They were a consecration offering for sweet odor. It was an offering by fire to Jehovah. Now, what does that mean? It just meant this, that from Moses to Aaron and Aaron's sons to the altar, to the fire, what was offered to God had been consecrated. So, Aaron was consecrated. His sons were consecrated. They were ordained, I don't like the word. They were given power to offer something to God, and that's Ephesians. That's consecration. Consecration. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a doxology. Oh, beloved brethren, if you'd have been in the Church of England like I was, you'd have known what a doxology was. Hey, you would. There was Handel's Messiah. There was Mozart. But a doxology is a sudden outburst. When something comes in that hasn't quite been... Well, it just comes out. You can't keep it in. It's an outburst of praise. That's a doxology. And we used to like these doxologies because the choir master used to say to us, you can sing it, boys, with all your power and strength. I'm not in control now. It's a doxology. I remember that well and truly. Little did I realize the day would come when perhaps inside my heart, it was on my lips maybe then, but inside my heart, there would be a springing up to God. Now, consecration. Think of the saints of God. Think of Paul writing to the Ephesians and starting off with a doxology and then saying this to them. Sealing with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the acquired possession to the glory of his praise. It's that little word, to the glory of his praise. Now you've got a consecrated company, able to offer to the glory of his praise. Because what? Because they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they've got an inheritance, so they've got an income. Oh, beloved, saint of God, we've got a wonderful inheritance, and an inheritance in Christ that is yielding a tremendous income. And what do I want income for? To live on. That's it. And you can always tell a man with a good income. You see it not only in what he puts on, but what he puts inside him. You go to his table and you see the springs in him. This man must be wealthy. Oh, but not brethren. We've got Christ. What more do we want? What wealth? What impressions of Christ there are under the hand of the blessed Spirit of God that dwells in the believer, that wells out in praise and thanksgiving and blessing to God, and the company consecrated. Not only constituted, that's commonwealth, but consecrated. That's an approach. Oh, beloved brethren, it's far greater to approach God than ever it is to come out to men. It is. Believe me, it is. And I proved it. There was a time when I knew more about speaking to men than I knew about speaking to God. I don't mean in saying that I didn't know what it was to pray, but I'm talking now of approach. Being able to have a wave offering to speak to God wholly about Christ, why not be like that? Look how Moses spoke. Look how David spoke. Look how some of the men spoke in Scripture until two men were chosen by God to come into a mountain apart and a highway. Moses and Elijah to talk, not preach, to talk. And as we know, to speak about his departure. Now I'm sure that the man who spoke, the dear brother who spoke that didn't know to have spoken then, got the gain of it when he speaks of the excellent glory. He found he was in a realm of superlatives when it would be much better to keep quiet than speak. Isn't it like the end of the morning when we've such a sense of the preciousness of Christ and the greatness of God, all that divine love has done, the spirit of consecration is with the saint of God, and having said what he is, wants to, there's silence, there's contemplation, there's power. Oh, beloved brethren, may we know more of the blessedness of the gospel, because without the gospel you can't have this. What's the good of talking about consecration or committal or deliverance until the power of Satan is broken in the soul? And the soul is now bathed in redemption, where once he was lost in sin. Now he's free to come into all the sunshine of God's love. Oh, may we go through this week, dear brethren, with a greater sense than ever before of not only what we have been called to, but whom we have been blessed in Christ Jesus. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.